We're on page Kufnun Zion, the chapter beginning with Inyan HaYisurim, the paragraph beginning with Inyan HaYisurim. And the Yerushalayim here is talking about the Dveikus, the connection that a Jew achieves through Torah learning, the connection to Hashem. So right now he is talking about the Chazal that tell us that there are three gifts that Hashem has given us, and all three of them are only given through affliction. And one of these gifts is the Torah, and the Nesiv Shalom explained how the affliction purifies our physicality to the point that we're able to see the light in the Torah that allows us to connect to Hashem. So he's in the middle of explaining. Inyan HaYisurim, the concept of Yisurim, which is affliction. Is explained at greater length in the Sefer, in the Holy Sefer Noyim HaGodim. He explains the concept of Yisurim Shalahava, which the Gemara refers to as affliction of love. Tzadikim, when they have affliction, we assume that that affliction is affliction of love. What does that mean? Mama Chazal. The Chazal say, Kol mi shehakadosh baruch hu chafetz bo, someone who Hashem wants, medaka b'yisurim, Hashem afflicts that person with affliction. So ma'inyan ahava yisurim, what does love have to do with affliction? Mevarazois, and the Noyim HaGodim explains this al derech mashal through a parable. L'melech basav adam, to a king of flesh and blood, she'ohav ish echad shemotzachen ve'inav. He loves a certain man who found favor in his eyes. And he knows that this certain person loves him as well. Now the king wanted to be a guest at this person's, at this certain man's house. Because he knew that if he would come as a guest to this person's house, this would be an honor and a privilege for this person. This person would consider it an honor and a privilege that he has the king as a guest. So the king commanded his servants, "Lahatim beisa ishahu." That they should go into this person's house and make sure that this person's house, tidy up the place, to make sure that it is befitting for the king. So the servants come along. So they clean up the surrounding of the house, and also the inside of the house. And they go in and they take all the old utensils of this person, and they throw it out. Right?
I don't know. Are you asking me?
You said
right. Look at me. I don't.
You can sit over here if you want.
Sure. Yeah. We have all the sets we have?
I got them over there.
You got the one that you brought?
I brought two of them from over there.
I
got two from over here.
Yeah. Okay, we got them all.
Okay.
I was like, we could talk a little bit. We could share the two of us.
No, have
you guys, you guys, okay.
Rehura.
So in the beginning, this guy's these servants coming into his house and throwing out all the utensils. It seemed very bad in his eyes.
No, not bad.
Right, and in his heart, he cared for his old old objects that were in his house. But then he understood that otherwise it doesn't work. And it's all worth it for him. As long as the king will be a guest by him.
Well, is the king going to bring new things in though to make up for things he took out?
And finally, when the king arrived with all of his, with his whole entourage, and his with all of his beauty and all of his glory, to his house, then he felt the tremendous pleasure. That truly everything was worth it. Because it's impossible for such a great king to be a guest in his house, the Fneshi Yitora Bais Kiroi, before the house is purified properly.
I'll just give you one king, please.
Take
all his
time. Yes, after this, Godel Kivoidai, after this, his honor was greatened, the honor of this person was greatened. He became very famous in all of the king's provinces. Mishahila Bakoshala Malach, and anybody who had some kind of request to the king, but Elov came to this person, she yamlitz taibavura, this person should put in a good word for him. Because of Bazov, and he received all kinds of gifts, silver and gold. But all the silver and gold had no importance in his eyes, because of his love for the king, in comparison to the love he had for the king, and the tremendous privilege he had to be so close to the king, all of this, all of the gifts that he would receive were worthless in his eyes. Einshom Shaharach B'Dvarov on his government, see the Noam HaGadol, who speaks about this at great length. And with this, the Noam HaGadol explains Kol Shekadosh Baruch Hu Chavetz by this Chazal we began with, that whoever Hashem wants, Medaka V'Yisurim, the Hashem afflicts with affliction. He always who is Baruch Shemay writes Dishkan V'Toicha. He says that Rabbi Shlom wants to dwell within this person. Mukhrachim L'Tarayis I Mikol Hashem V'Gam. Therefore, Hashem to purify this person from any type of fault or schmutz. V'hema Yisurim, and this is the affliction of a time of Zakechem as Adam that purifies the person. That the person should be worthy that the Holy One should dwell within him. With this, it is explained Lama Torah Eretz Yisrael V'Olam Haba. Why these three gifts? The Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba, in on Niknan Elai, the Yisurim, can only be acquired through affliction. Since they're the purpose of all three of these is connection to Hashem, is Yevshel HaSigam Ela Yidei Yisurim HaMazakim HaSadim. Therefore, it's impossible to achieve them only through affliction that purifies the person. That is why Chazal say Masechta Sofos, Kachi Darka Shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pasba Malach Toichal, to eat bread with salt, Umayim B'Masura Tishta, and to drink water. V'Alor is Tishan, and to sleep on the ground. V'Chayetzar Tichy, and to live a painful life. If you do so, fortunate are you in this world, and it is good for you in the world to come. So the obvious question on this is, I understand that it's very good in the world to come. How is this person fortunate in this world?
To get the afflictions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how is it fortunate for the person if he's eating bread and water and sleeping on the ground? How is that fortunate in this world? But according to what we explained, the Shalidei Chayitzar, that through living a painful life, Yehudi Mezakeh Gufay, a Jew, purifies his body. And he becomes susceptible and worthy of achieving this lofty pleasure of connection to Hashem. And then he has this pleasure of connection to Hashem, one already benefits in this world. And of course, and in comparison to that pleasure of connecting to Hashem, all of the pleasures of this world are pale in comparison, or actually are nothing in comparison. The umas atana garukhni compared to that spiritual pleasure.
What's the spiritual sense? I mean, that's in the future, not now.
No, that's even in this world.
Yeah, but the point is,
Nothing worth repeating.
Thank you, Rabbi. For people, it's hard to take the truth.
What perplexed me is that we act Torah Avodah that brings down the three pillars of where the world
stands.
Right. He's bringing it down to say that one of the way to acquire it is true affliction.
Right.
If you acquire true affliction, how could you do Gemar Chassadim?
Why? What is it? Why is the one?
Because it's not for you. It's an act of others.
Right.
Now, Torah and Avodah, I can understand. I cannot get to affliction. But how?
No, he didn't. He was talking about the three gifts. He wasn't talking about the three pillars.
Oh, you're talking about the.
Israel and
Adam. But then, how could I get? The same question applies here also, because when I looked at it in Pigabos, it's the same problem I had, is that how could I get Olam Abba through an affliction of Olam Hazeh when that is a pleasure?
Olam Abba is a pleasure.
Olam Abba is a pleasure. So I'm acquiring Olam Abba by doing an affliction of Olam Hazeh.
Right. So what he's saying is that affliction purifies our physicality to the point that we're able to that we're able to actually take pleasure in spirituality.
But we're against self-mortification.
And you're not talking about self-mortification. I mean, actually, Yisurim can mean affliction from above. That's what he said. Somebody who Hashem loves, Hashem afflicts such a person. Hashem, help us from that too.
But, exactly, please.
But it could be, the self-mortification that he's talking about is eating bread and salt instead of indulging in pleasures of this world. Each person to their own. Everybody has their areas where they go beyond the norm when it comes to the pleasures of this world. And a person has to see to it in each in their way to cut back. And that's Yisurim. That's already afflicting oneself when one isn't going the full to the full extent of what they would like to do. So that could be self-mortification. It's a little bit of that can save a person from a lot of affliction from above.
So this is an example of like how to pull yourself back, not necessarily literally just eating bread and water.
Right.
Because it doesn't say elsewhere, that you're supposed to take advantage of all the gifts that God has given us in the world and eat
very
all the animals
pretty
and like.
Dangerous statement.
Hmm?
Pretty, very dangerous statement.
Oh, very, very dangerous.
Within reason.
You're going to get a 30-foot sailboat instead of a 50-foot sailboat.
You have to. You also have to. The rabbis translated the word you saw very specifically, and you're translating it another way.
Right.
Rabbi said the word.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Right. There's a difference between suffering and affliction.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to see. Right. Is that are we really making a difference between suffering and affliction?
Yeah, but there's a transfer.
Right. And we're is slipping between the two.
That's what I'm trying to get that in my mind. That's someone. Wow.
Are all the Cubs fans going straight to Omaha?
All the what? Cubs fans. That's not. This is not a question, bud. This is being a masochist.
I think that's suffering.
There are three sufferings in life. There are three rings in life. There's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering.
He got only one ring. See, in the year, just one thing.
That's all good.
Yeah. See, so two more. It's required.
How did we get here?
Okay. Mashmois. Inyan Yisurim. And the meaning of this concept of Yisurim, of affliction, Lav Davki Yisuri Agav is not necessarily only affliction of the body. Ki Yisuri HaNefesh G'doylim Pi Kama Yisuri Agav. Because affliction of...
It's important, right?
Of...
The soul.
It's not... Okay, we'll see in a minute. Right, affliction of one's emotions, or the affliction of the soul, is even greater than affliction of the body.
It's even greater love and emotion, man.
V'toivim mardus achas, v'libay shal odom yoysim emeya malkis. And one mardus would mean...
rebellious act.
Okay. Well, this would mean, rebellious against the Yetzer Hara.
Act of resistance.
All right, one act of resistance, thank you. In the heart of a person is worth more than 100 lashes. Meaning that it accomplishes on the person more than 100 lashes would. V'yesurei ha-matzpain, ha-mesa'odinim v'lev Yehudi, and the... No, it's not even a resistive act. It's a resistive emotion. The hidden affliction that is awakened in the heart.
Well, matzpon is conscience.
Huh?
Conscience, the sufferings of the conscience.
Suffering of the conscience. Okay.
It's one Hebrew word for conscience, matzpon.
Yeah, but it means hidden. The same thing. Yeah. I'm a soldier in Belev Yehudi. That is. That awakens in the heart of a Jew, Shashor Shem, Koyach HaBaskol, and the source of these of this affliction the source of it is this heavenly voice, HaKoyder LeLibos B'nei Yisrael, that calls out to the hearts of the Jewish people every day, Shuvu Banim Shevavim, return to me, wayward children, thank you. And Hema Hachana Lamatanis Alalu, this is the preparation for these gifts. Meaning that feeling of remorse that a person has when he has an awakening to tshuva, that feeling is worth more than 100 lashes. That is called, as he called it, Yisurei HaMatzpon, the affliction of our conscience. One cannot merit Torah, and one cannot feel the dwelling of the Shekhinah in Eretz Yisrael, only through the affliction of one's conscience. So also to the godly light that there is in the world to come, a person merits that through the affliction of the conscience, that afflict him, because of his, he has been distanced from Hashem, his God.
And that's what makes it a Hasidic text and not a Musa text, right? It's not like, I'm going to be afflicted because of my sin. That's what a Musa text would say. It's because I feel my distance from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
What's the distinction between, or the difference between the remorse here and the despair that you were talking about all Shabbos about, like...
Remorse is not despair. Remorse is essential. It's a tshuva. If one didn't feel remorse, then he hasn't begun, one hasn't begun tshuva at all. Despair is giving up.
Okay. And remorse is like the first...
Remorse is, I feel
the first act of teshuvah. Where despair is you unable to do teshuvah because you feel you're
doomed.
And you have to fight and resist the natural inclination to slip into despair because you see yourself in such a low state. Very natural.
Very natural.
To give up on yourself.
The Marcus Medina. The Marcus Medina. Despair is something that is very prevalent. My father once told me that although his forebears opposed the breadth of approach, the Chernobyl was very, very much against it. There was the Kutim Haran was basically banned in Chernobyl. Is because that they felt that in that generation, those generations, it was overly lenient to the Baal Tshuva.
Mm-hmm. How so?
It's just learning Rabbi Nachman's Sforim. He's
very lenient to the Baal
Tshuva. Yeah, just his emphasis on not despairing. Uh-huh. When he tries to take that possibility of despairing out of the person's vocabulary, he just makes it seem very easy to do tshuva. And they felt that it was totally out of hand. My father said that he said obviously Rav Nachman had very far. His eyesight was a very distant into the future, and he's able to see our generation, where depression and despair is so common, so prevalent. So he says Rav Nachman definitely meant our generation, and had these forebearers, or at least his forebearers only. He feels that his forebearers only meant their generation and our generation. They would have agreed that Rav Nachman's approach was the right approach.
What's that approach?
You're going to have to start going to Dr. Andre Shira. just the emphasis on not despairing. And just the emphasis on okay, it's a separate shmooze, and I probably won't do any justice to it.
Thank you, very nice answer. That's what I thought.
Would you like to give us a 2-minute?
That it's very easy. That this idea, this notion, this Musavdic idea that I'm a gurnisht and I'm full of sin, is the most damaging to one's spiritual connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, the Iker central act of Avodah is to speak to God directly in His Vodas and to maintain the connection no matter how far you have fallen, no matter what you have done.
Right. Thank you. Vinay. Right. Isav Zayar Kodesh. It says in the Zohar Kodesh,
Isn't what you said yesterday?
Yes, exactly what I said yesterday.
I couldn't repeat that.
On the Pasuk, Hoyda Eilav Chatosai, it says in the Parsha of Tshuva, when the Pasuk, actually, talks about the karbanos, and a person does tshuva and brings a karban, it says, or if his sin became known to him. That's what the pasuk says. If a person's sin became known to him, asks the Zohar Kodesh, man kumoy delay, how did it become known to him? What did he know now that he didn't know before? So the Zohar Kodesh answers, oraisa kaman delay. The Torah, he learned the Torah, and he saw, whoops, you know, what I've been doing wasn't right. When he says, when the Sivis says in the pasuk, ashay agever, ashay tiyasrenu ka, fortune is the person that Hashem afflicts him, umetayros atlamdenu, and he learns it from the Torah. Hainu meaning, shayde koyach ha-Torah, meaning through the koyach of Torah, zoyche li-yisurei matzmai. By learning Torah, a person achieves the affliction of conscience. Believe Torah without learning Torah, ain't the Yehudi tfiyas ha-nefesh. There's nothing demanding of the person if the person doesn't learn Torah. Because without Torah learning, a person's look at the world is an animalistic look. He doesn't see Hashem's honor. And he doesn't feel any, there's no guilty conscience for the fact that he has been distanced from Hashem. A person doesn't see constantly his purpose and goal in his world, because his outlook is very contracted. But the Torah widens the speculation of a person. Through it, the person sees the glory of Hashem, and the person feels the great compromise that he has out of being distanced from Hashem, to the point that the person finds no place because of the affliction of his conscience, and that guilty conscience, that itself is the cure for the person.